All right, welcome back to MVP Podcast, episode 22. We've got Mitch here, who's an investor in Southeastern Wisconsin, which is, I think, our first investor in Southeastern Wisconsin.
I was going to say, I totally got the feels today when talking to him. I think he might be my new best friend. I mean, other than Mr. Marcus, of course.
Obviously. Duh. And your husband.
And you got it. My husband. Well, he's just married to me. He has to be.
Oh, okay. Mitch talks a lot about his start and how he got going, goes into basically how his company is run, how he's transitioning into like the next phase, where kind of went through a growth and then tried to pull back, and now he's developing again. So very, very insightful, very inspiring story from him. He's on a great path. Definitely somebody to reach out to watch, ask questions. He's very open. We're going to leave a lot of his information in the show notes. So if you are on the fringe and want to get started, he is a great resource for you, and I'm glad to have him on the show. So without any more delay, let's bring him
on. All right, awesome. Well, first off, thanks for having me on this. I love what you guys are doing, so just thank you so much. My name is Mitch Ferraro. I am a real estate investor located in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I had, you know, before I got into real estate, I've been doing real estate investing for full time for about 7 years. And before I got into real estate, I was a graduate of UW-Milwaukee. Actually, I graduated with a degree in kinesiology.
That's funny.
That's actually what I wanted to get into.
I was going
to
say, you two would be perfect together.
My university didn't offer kinesiology, so I had to do psychology.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I
dated
somebody who was in school for kinesiology too. But
yeah, and I swear, like, whenever I tell people that, they're like, wait, what? Like, are you just making that up? Like, is that like an even real thing? Like, yes, it's the study of human movement.
Yes.
And yeah, so what I was going for is when I went into college, I played hockey my whole life. Still play hockey. Big hockey fan. Love playing golf, things like that. And I got into kinesiology because I was going to go into physical therapy. So, so then once I started my undergrad, I then decided right after my undergrad, instead of going to get, because they actually changed the program, ready to go get your doctorate program for physical therapy, I actually got into the workforce right away. And I had an internship at a company called Quad Graphics, which is a large print company. They print, they're a manufacturer of print, so they print like Sports Illustrated, Time Magazine.
A small company located in Wisconsin.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, they are a very big, they're one of the largest printers in the world, actually.
Are they really?
Yes.
I have no idea. I'm not from Wisconsin originally, so this is all foreign.
Yeah. So they're, you know, like literally they manage, so like all your Sports Illustrated magazines, all your Time magazines, all of your like tabloid, like OK magazine, they print that actual product and they ship it out to all the newsstands and all that stuff. So, so I was there for right out of college. And as time went on, I just absolutely hated it. I hated the corporate structure. I hated the bureaucracy. I was in the industry that I was in, there wasn't a lot of younger people in the industry because it's the print industry. So, with everything that goes on with technology these days, there wasn't a lot of, innovation and people wanting to like move forward. It was always like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And, you're the young guy. So it was like really crushing, like my soul, I felt like. And it was like one of those things where I would come home and, my wife, Nina, and I have two children, 9 and 6 year old Rome and Sasha. And I'd come home and my wife would just be like, you got to find something different. Like I was just like demoralized. It felt like, randomly one day, kind of funny enough, I was at work on my lunch hour and I was like on LinkedIn and I saw this program, this guy named Than Merrill, who is the owner of a company called Fortune Builders, and it's an educational program. They were coming to Milwaukee. So I decided it was like a 3-day seminar, And I went to it, and oh my God, did they know how to high pressure sales you very, very well. Like, you know, it was like, you need this. This is what, you know, if you want to change your life, this is how you do it. And it's real estate, and it's real estate investing. And we teach you wholesaling and building your rental portfolio and flipping and all these different things, raising private money. And it's so funny because I went to the seminars and I came home like on the second day and I was like to my wife, Nina, I was like, we have got to do this. Like, this is what it is. And my wife was like, you're crazy. You're nuts. And the funny thing about it is that typically it's like a role. This is a role reversal for my wife and I. My wife is always like, go, go, go. Like, we're doing it. And I'm always like, whoa, 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 time out. We need to analyze this and get some more details and all that good stuff. So finally, you know, after like, I still remember the night that we were having the conversation. It was like, we were crying and laughing and having a good time, aww, like just talking about life. And we finally made the decision that we were going to go through with it, but it was a large amount of money. We had to invest $25,000 to get into this program. And I still remember giving them my credit card and being like, oh my God, we're getting scammed right now. Like, this is like, you know, you start to have like these second guesses after you put this large amount of money down. And honestly, it was the best decision I've ever made in my life. It actually got me started in real estate. The program that they educate you on, it was just a huge, huge, like, good foundation that they teach you. And they teach you really a lot about marketing, raising private money, building a rental portfolio, using wholesaling and flipping to build your passive income. So roll 7 years forward now. You know, once I kind of started that program, I decided to leave my job full time and dive into real estate. And we started flipping and started building our rental portfolio. And here I am today. And a big goal for us this year is, you know, by the end of this year, we're hoping to be financially independent through our passive income. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that would be, this is, just we're like,
the firework goes off. No, that's exciting. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So so that is a huge goal for us. And one of the biggest goals in this second half of this year, along with being financially independent, is we want to start funding deals. So start being private money lenders on real estate deals. So that is something that is just really exciting for us. Like, we are really starting to see all the fruits of our labor over the past 7 years, because there's been a lot of ups and downs. My wife left her job a couple of years ago to come into our business full time, so we're both full time into real estate. And but it's been, you know, the flexibility. Like, every morning I see my kids go off to school. Aww. every day when they come home, we're here. We have our office here in our house. We make our own schedules. It's just, and what I really like, what we were kind of talking about earlier, is that real estate has changed my life. It's allowed me flexibility. It's allowed me a lifestyle that I've always wanted, and I see myself getting there. So I'm just really excited to see what the future holds. And I know that was long-winded answer to where you come from, but that's basically me in a nutshell.
Awesome.
It was a great background.
Yeah.
So many little things that I took out of that, because not only one, like, changing careers is hard, but you're changing careers with your wife, so it's not you changing, it's a household decision. Plus, you said your oldest daughter was 9, so your daughter was 2 when you started.
Yes.
Which is,
yeah,
another obstacle.
Oh my
and
God.
Then you're using private money on top of that, so you're really extending yourself. So,
and working with your spouse is never an easy feat at all. I've tried it once, failed miserably. We attempted to do it a second time, but we couldn't quite get all the pieces of the puzzle together. So,
you guys are just knocking down walls over
there.
So, kudos for that one.
Literally and figuratively.
Right. I'm glad you caught my pun. No, that is exciting. And what I really liked about that is how you said normally you're the person that's like, hold on, let's analyze this one. And that's usually the case. I'm the same way where something changes. I'm like, hold on, give me more facts.
That's my husband.
Before we like jump both feet in. But I think you kind of solve that by going to those classes and getting, even if it's not like a mentor, but like a group of people you can at least communicate with and get education from.
And fall back onto as right. well.
Kind of ease that tension a little bit. And it makes it easier. That's what I keep telling people that start out. Either go work for somebody for free so you can get like on the ground level and see how it operates, or go take some courses. There's YouTube, there's podcasts. Just educate yourself and it will not seem as daunting.
I know.
You literally did that, so.
Yeah, I 100% agree with, I think like the education portion that comes to it is extremely important. Having a mentor, having some background, you know, giving yourself some education on how this works and what to do. But like we were mentioning before too, like it's scary, but you have got to take action. Mm-hmm. Like the imperfect action is way better than no action at all.
Yep.
And if you don't take the action, and yeah, you may skin your knees, you may fall on your face, but you've got to get back up and keep going. Like, over the past 7 years that I've started to just work for myself, and you know, I watch a lot of, you know, guys like Grant Cardone and Gary Vaynerchuk and Tony Robbins, like all these bigger guys that are entrepreneurs.
He's literally in my Instagram. Like this morning, all the people are scrolling past on my Instagram.
Right.
Oh my God.
And the guys that are successful are the guys that just don't give up. Mm-hmm. They keep going. Like that's, I've attributed to success as just not giving up. Yeah. You keep going. And so I think just having some, you know, even though you may, because I know you can get paralysis by analysis. I did it. I've done it on deals. I've done it. It happens. But you have to start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a huge part of it, is that you got to take that action.
What was your biggest takeaway from the classes that you took?
That's a really good question.
They usually flood you with info. So one out of the million things.
Yeah, sorry.
No.
I think one of the biggest things was that there's a couple. I'm just going to mention a couple. I think one is that if you want a lifestyle that is yours, you have to really plan for it. You have to have a bigger vision and a bigger picture and a reason why. To then, that's where you develop your business around that. So like, you don't just go and develop a business because you want to be an entrepreneur or have, you have to like really, what is your life vision? That comes first. And they really ingrain that into us. Like, what does 10 years down the road look like for you? What does 15 years? What are some of the biggest dreams and goals that you want to hit in your lifetime? And you build your business around that. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the biggest things. Like, wow, you just don't start a business to start a business because you want to be in business for yourself. It's like, no, start with your life. What do you want your life to look like? Right. And you know what? And have those scary goals, like in the pit of your stomach when you say them, you're kind of like, would I ever be able to do that? Yeah, dream. Like, go for those things. And probably the second biggest thing was that to really have that lifestyle, you need to have passive income. Like, you need, like, it can't be a transactional world. It has to be, like, that money comes into you no matter what each month, and you're not working to get that money. So those two major things is, like, build your life vision first and then build your business. And then to truly have that life requires passive income. And then the rest kind of trickles down from there of how to really develop passive income.
Yeah. And I can't remember if it was Rich Dad Poor Dad or a different book that I read just right after that, but they talk about the delineation between rich and wealthy. And rich is that transactional sales process where I've got a product or a good, you buy it one time, transaction done, it's over. Wealth is something that repeatedly comes in from either a service or a product. And once you have more of that passive income, that's more of the wealthy side. which is where, when I went back and reflected about where I want my life to be, I wanted that passive. I wanted to be able to be a little bit more hands-off, not so that I could quit and retire, but to do what you're doing, where I could be the private lender and I can help other people that want to get this, that have that fire, that's like, this is where I need to go. I can help those people out get there. Because obviously, like, retirement to me is not like I'm done working, I'm going to go sip Mai Tais on a beach. It's just, I'm not actually framing a house and building it. I'm now working with other people and other entrepreneurs to get to where they want to end up going.
You know, I joke with Marcus every week. I'm like, one of these weeks you're going to push me over the edge and I'm going to have to figure out a way to like invest. And I swear, one of these weeks he is. He's going to push me over the edge and I'm just going to have to like jump in with both feet.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, Marcus, when you say like, you know, like retirement isn't like on the beach with Mai Tais, right? It's like, but if I want to choose that to be a month of my life, like I want to have that choice,
right?
Like I want to, and I have the systems and processes in place that, you know, I can just go do that. I'm not on my phone the whole time, you know, having to deal with stuff. I want that choice. And then when I come back and I'm energized and recharged, I'm back into business and going after it again and whatever it may be. But I also like the sense of like where you're like being the private money lender and helping people that have the drive and the fire to do this and teach them how to do this. Like, I love that aspect. Like, if people are for real and they have, and you know what the drive looks like, right? Because you've done it. And, you know, like, and you know what a deal looks like because you've had to underwrite them before. Mm-hmm. So, like, being able to have that knowledge and, like, say, like, really impact someone's life because you know it can happen, like, that's, like, super, in my opinion, it's, like, super gratifying. Like, you know that you're trying, you're, like, helping someone that's, like, you're kind of teaching a person to fish, right? You know, so they can live the rest of their life.
Yeah. I just listened to a Gary Vee podcast about what drives him, and he said it was gratitude. So he wakes up every day, and he's just grateful for what he has.
Aww.
And I was like, that's
a really good way.
Keep you going.
That's a good place to be.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's, if you don't mind, let's dive into kind of how your company operates. How many, like, do you full-time have staff? Are you actually boots on the ground with a lot of these properties that you have, or do you have a property manager? How does that all work?
Yeah, absolutely. So very interesting enough, over the 7 years when my wife and I started, in our mindset, it was like scale, like get bigger. And we did that for about 4 years, almost 4.5 years into our business, where we were growing a team. We had an acquisitions person, we had property management, we actually went into business with two other business partners, we had an assistant, we actually then ventured off to start a coaching company, and we were just like, man, we really want to get bigger, and we actually were a part of a different mastermind group, and I don't know if you guys ever been a part of a mastermind, but basically, this one, you went up and you explained what your business model was, and they poke holes in it. And I remember, very, very nicely and critically, but very positively. And I remember when Nina and I went to go present our business model, we were like, oh my God, we're going to crush this. We're going to blow everyone away, like, with what we're doing. Everyone in the room, you got like, it's like a, you know, like a board of directors in front of you, and like there's like 20 people in front of you, and everyone in the room was like, whoa, you guys are doing way too much. Like, you are not going to be successful by trying to do all of it, because we were flipping houses, wholesaling houses, building our rental portfolio. I'm a licensed agent, so I was trying to get listings. We had the coaching program. It was just like a lot.
And so
after that mastermind, my wife and I, like, we really broke down everything, like, that weekend while we were at the mastermind. And when we came home, we kind of blew everything up. We said, you know what? We're going to break off. It was very hard and difficult, because the people that we were with, you know, we grew to be a very good team. We grew to be a very, loving and supporting group around us. And it was very difficult, but my wife and I knew that for us to get to where we want to get to, we had to do that. So we now, it's just my wife and I, and this has been about the past 2 years or so. So it's just my wife and I, and we for all of our rentals, we do have a property management company that manages the rentals. We do have for all of our flips that we do, we have a few GCs that we work with that we have bid out our scopes of work, and we provide them the job based off of pricing and schedule. And then, for myself, like I mentioned, I'm a licensed agent as well. So what I do is when we work directly with sellers, we provide them with a few different options when I'm with them. So I can say, hey, I can buy this property for cash. With my cash offer, there's no contingencies attached to that offer. So no inspections, appraisals, financing contingencies. I'll buy the property as is. And if that price, if that situation doesn't work for the seller, I then say, hey, I can probably get you more money on the open market and we can list the property. And here's what I think we can list it at. But there's going to be probably some hoops that we have to jump through to go to market, because there's going to be inspections, there's going to be appraisals, there's going to be probably financing contingencies. And a lot of the times too, that the properties that I'm dealing with, they're not in the best of shape. So they may not be able to get financing. So we will have to find a cash buyer. So we just kind of go through all of their options. We provide them with a net proceeds sheet of which option, how much money they'd be able to walk away with. And we basically just let them make the decision on what they want to do. With some people, money isn't the most important thing. It's getting out of a situation that might be the important thing. In other situations, money is the most important thing. So the option that we provide them to get the most money is how we try to convert on that lead. So we're mainly boots on the ground. We tried the scaling thing. We didn't do very well at it, even though we were doing okay. We just decided that that wasn't for us. And now today, like I said, we are hopefully this year going to be completely financially free with our passive income. Looking to start a full scale, if you will, lending business. So it's exciting, and that's kind of where we come from.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what that lending part.
I know. I keep circling back to that too.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, I was just gonna say on the lending side. So in our business, we've always used for all of the properties that we renovate and sell. We've either, the properties that we buy, we've either renovated them or sell them, or we've used the BRRRR strategy for all of our rentals. Mm-hmm. So we've bought properties, we renovate them, we get them rented out, and then we refinance them with a traditional lender, because every deal that we've ever done, we've raised private money for those deals, meaning we've built relationships with people that have money, and we use their money to buy the property and fix them up. And then when we sell the property, they get paid back with a very good amount of interest. Or when we refinance the property, that's when they get paid back with the same amount of good interest on that. So sure, we've done that for the past 7 years, and we've seen how lucrative and how it really, our private money lenders are making really good money with not having to do a lot of work.
Right.
So that's what we want to get into, is that side of the business, because we know already what we do for our lenders to make sure that the deal's right. We underwrite the deal. We make sure they're getting into a good deal. So we can do all that on our own, but we just need the money of our own. So now what we're going to be doing is, with the cash that we have, is starting to lend out on deals. And again, I can underwrite the deals. I can make sure they're correct. And then if it's even someone new, we can go and help them, kind of through the process. Or if it's someone that is established, we kind of give them the guidelines of what we're looking for and lend them money on the deal. So we're super excited to see what that looks like on the back half of the year, because even rentals are not as passive as what everyone thinks, because you still have to manage the property manager. You still have some time, if you have to make fixes and things like that. But on the lending side, that's you know, you write a check, it goes out, you know, you're basically on in first lien position on the mm-hmm. on the mortgage of the home, and you wait for your check once the property is completed. So yeah, that's on the lending side of things.
I have a question. Are you more excited to work with the newbies or the experienced?
You know, I think what I want to start with the experienced people, because I know, because of the relationships I have with those people already. Like, I know if I'm lending the money out, starting off, that feels more secure to me.
Yeah.
But as I realize how that business is ran, and I can start feeling more comfortable working with people that are greener, that's exciting, because now you're talking about you wanted to help change someone's life. Mm. That's how you can help change someone's life.
Oh, that just gave me all the warm and fuzzies.
All right.
But that makes perfect sense as you're trying to start into something new, even though it is real estate. And I mean, you're really one position removed where you were before. It's a whole different aspect of how to look at the deal that maybe it'll help with an experienced person in there. There's less variables, I guess, with someone more experienced.
Yeah, I agree too. Like, and I think, again, you know, like, even though it's still real estate, it's a different silo of the business. So you may know only one aspect of it because you've been the one borrowing the money. But now when you become the lender, there's obviously things that you just don't know of that you'll learn and you'll want to make sure that are correct. And then once you kind of dot all your I's and cross your T's and you have a really good flow of process and systems, then you move right into maybe helping some of those newer guys out.
Yeah. That's an exciting path for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brain is going like a million like different directions right now. I'm like, just trying to think, like, what can I do, like, going forward? It's inspirational to listen to you guys talk.
And to keep that going with people like Natasha that are right on the fence of
I am like,
just need the push.
I want to sit down with my husband tonight and be like, listen, this is where we are. Like, what can we do going forward?
So when Natasha's talking to her husband about, hey, we're going to invest, I just got inspired today on the podcast. I know. We got to do this. We were talking to Mitch. He told me where he found some of his private lenders, so maybe we should start the ball there. Where should Natasha start when she's trying to look for private lenders?
Marcus is such bad influence on me.
This is great influence. You need more people like Marcus around you, because that's what actually will push you over the edge to do this.
This weekly podcast is going to be the death of me.
No, it'll be the freedom
of me. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, the freedom for sure. Before we go into private lenders, I think, like, I always tell people, like, if you're serious about real estate, you have to understand what a deal looks like. Because not everything that you might get under contract is a true deal. Mm-hmm. So, like, it doesn't matter how many private money lenders you have. It doesn't matter, you know, the contractors that you have. If you don't have a true deal on your hands, you're going to get nipped in the butt on the back end. So I think educating yourself on what a real deal looks like, meaning, like, what does your market look like? What are things selling for at the top dollar? What would you have to buy it at to make sure that you could buy it at the right price and renovate it and make sure that it's a true deal? So that would be the first thing. And then the other thing too is, I always say, is like, you got to make offers. Like, if you're not making offers, you're not getting deals.
Right.
That's two of the main things. Then when it comes to private lenders, this is very tough for people, because they're like, I don't know any of these people. Like, I actually just did a interview with a private lender of ours. And I was like, listen, guys, these people are real. Like, they're not these unicorns that, like, poop rainbows, okay? Like, they're real people.
But that's what people think private lenders are. Like, they're mystical people that no one ever gets to talk to. And they're kept in this castle and, like, up on this pedestal. They're just normal people.
Yes.
Yes, they are. So, like, I run a group called Southeastern Wisconsin Real Estate Investors Group on Facebook, and I host, like, these these networking meetings, and recently we've been doing them on Zoom because of the pandemic. And I've ran three of them so far, and there have been two or more private money lenders in those networking events. And they say that they're like, yeah, I lend money out. You know, if anyone ever has a deal or whatever, it's so funny because like, I literally on those calls, I'm like, guys, whoever's looking for private money lenders needs to contact this guy right here, get his information, take him out to lunch, wine and dine him a little bit, get him to know who you are and start building that relationship. And you kind of just get like a deer in headlights sometimes, like with, like, this is how you start that relationship. Like, you start by just letting those people get to know you.
Yeah.
And from there, once they know you and trust you, and then you say, hey, you know what? I have this deal. Would you be interested in lending on it? It's not like it's a cold call.
Right.
This person already knows you. They already understand, like, who you are. You've explained to them what you're trying to do. So,
I mean, it's one thing to lend money to, like, Joe Schmo. It's another thing to lend money to, like, your buddy or, you know, somebody that you have a relationship with.
That's 100% correct. And that's, like, the thing, too, where I think people kind of say, well, I don't have a deal, so why would that person be interested? Well, listen, just get to know some. You're both human. You both want to interact. You're both in real estate. Like, just get to know someone like that. That's like the biggest thing. This is a, when it comes to the lending side, it's all about relationships, period. Like you got to have good relationships with people. And, I think if you're looking for them, networking events are a big one. I think like going to, you know, Facebook and social media, like getting out there and letting people, you know, being vulnerable and letting people know that you're looking for lenders, that you're looking for people that might be able to lend on deals. Like, yeah, that may be awkward or maybe tough, but it's stuff that needs to happen so you can start building those relationships.
Yeah, and it is very awkward because I think from like a young age, we're taught never to ask for money or never
don't
ask
talk
for
about
handouts.
Money. Yeah.
And the one thing is, like, it's not a handout. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you to borrow your money.
You're going to pay me substantially to borrow the money.
Yes.
So yeah, it's an awkward, I guess, cultural norm where we're not supposed to ask for money, but it's amazing when you get over that fear of doing that. Like, you're running a business, they're running a business. It's not a personal, hey, can I have $20 to go get lunch? Like,
right.
I'm trying to generate you money. It kind of takes that fear out of it. At least it did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could go out and actually ask people for money.
Yeah. I'll say it's right. Like, I've got a big smile on my face, like, as you're talking, because I love talking about money with people. Like, it's very taboo, right? Like, in our culture, like, I remember growing up, you know, I'm your typical millennial, right? I'm 35 years old.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. We do not need to admit that we're millennials, okay? Like, let's just pump the brakes there.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm one of those guys that I, my parents are blue-collared workers, okay? Like, they are tough workers. You know, my dad just retired. My mom's still working. Like, she's almost retired. And I remember growing up being like, oh, like, how much money do you guys have in your bank? Like, no, we don't talk about that.
Right, you know? Right.
Like, that was, like, a big no-no. And then I think, like, once I started getting into real estate and I started understanding how to raise private money, it became one of these things that I really enjoy talking about because I know that the service that I'm providing someone to help them make money is a really true good service. And I think like just being able to talk to people about that and educate other people that it's okay to talk about. Like you said, you're not asking the guy for $20 for lunch. Yeah, you may be asking the guy for $100,000, but he could be making $5,000-$6,000 in 6 months on that money with hardly having to do anything.
Yeah.
So
and when I'm talking to people that have that kind of hiccup of like, yeah, you're going to have to go in private money. And they're like, well, that seems weird. I'm like, well, if you were them and you had $100,000 to lend, not like deplete your bank account, but you had $100,000 to lend out. And just for having it out there for a month or two, you made $6,000. Would you do it? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, what do you think they're thinking? Like, that's what they're thinking. I don't have to do anything. I just have to give you money and you're going to give me $6,000. Fine.
Yep.
So,
yep. And And I think too that the hard mechanism for, so once they understand that, they're like, well, how do I get a deal then that, that I can plop in front of them that would be able to make them that kind of money? And that's a tough part because the deals are hard to find.
Yeah.
So like there's all of these different aspects that come into it, but I'm telling you, once, listen, there is a switch that happens, and once it happens, things start to fall in place a lot more. And again, it comes down to the action part, right? Yep. It comes down to having those conversations, making offers on properties, going to networking events, feeling uncomfortable, all those types of things.
Yeah. And I know you've said Burr, so I'm assuming you listen to Bigger Pockets.
Yeah.
when I was early on, I was in a sales job, so I was like, I'm getting into real estate. I don't have anything to my name. I don't have time for it, but I'm getting into real estate. So all I did was listen to podcasts all day. Mm-hmm. And one of the first, and thankfully it was one of my first ones listening to it, they said, it doesn't cost you anything to listen to this podcast or to go analyze a deal. So go do it. If you want to get into real estate, go do it. It's going to cost you your time. But right now, you're not really happy with your time anyway, so let's do something to change it. And I was like, perfect. Every second I was in the car, it was podcast, like 3.5 hours a day.
Still is.
I know. And then, like, I would go home, I'd put my son to bed, I'd jump on the computer, I'd analyze 10 properties in a night. So, I mean, that's what I tell people that want to start. I'm like, hey, Bigger Pockets is a great way to start. They've got 500 and something episodes. Handpick ones that you want to listen to. And they have a website where you can actually go on, and it's got a calculator put into it. Go analyze 15 deals, come back, and we'll talk about it. It's not going to cost you any money to do it. You just got to get started. Your mind's got to start working that way. And it's going to feel more comfortable, and then you're going to get into a little system where you just repeat it over and over and over, and things are going to go.
I 100% agree. Like, it's with anything new. You have to get, you know, used to just doing that over and over again. Like, you know, I think one of the things that really helped me in the beginning was I had mentioned before that, you know, I've played hockey my whole life. And like when I started out at 5 years old, I just wasn't this little hockey player going around. I first had to learn to skate and then learn how to go forward and then backwards and then stop and then put a hockey stick in my hand and then shoot. And so there's all of these steps that go into it, but as you continue to do it over and over and over and over and over again, you get better.
Right.
So on the analyzing side, I remember same thing, you know, when I first started out, it was like, it took me like 2 hours to analyze one property, right? Like, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But now it's, you know, I can do one property in 5-7 minutes to analyze on the desktop, because it's just now, it's like, you know, it's like playing hockey. It just becomes a muscle memory of how to do it. So, I agree. Just getting out there and you will, when you don't have the money, you most likely have the time. So you have to use your time correctly.
Yep. Right.
When you have the time, you most likely have the money. So then you can use money to maybe hire someone to do that or get a process or a system that's automatically allows someone to do that. Mm-hmm. So there's always that trade off.
Yeah. Have you ever read Outliers?
Oh, my wife has. I have not, but she has told me about Outliers, and there's actually a specific hockey thing in there about the birth dates, right?
Yeah. So they found out that people born between January and March were more likely to make it into the NHL because with where their birth date fell, they weren't able to play down with their age group, so they actually got pushed up to the next age group. So it's like 5-year-olds playing against almost 7-year-olds, I guess, in theory. And then it talks about location and where these people came from. So it's like if you go through the NHL roster, majority of the people are born between January and March or January and April, and they're from like one cluster of the U.S. because that had like the higher exposure.
Is it like the Northeast cluster?
I think it has to be their Northeast, like, including the Toronto Midwest area.
It's funny, Mitch, you're talking about, you know, hockey and everything. And my long time ago ex-boyfriend was a hockey player, and he was studying kinesiology. So So, and like, we were super serious. Like, I remember, because I was a photographer, I would go to all the hockey meets and take like pictures of them playing hockey. And it's so funny that that's full circle.
Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah. When my wife had read that, she said, you know, you got to read this book. Because, I mean, I'm looking at books everywhere right now, like on our nightstand. Like, we got books, like, everywhere, and I just haven't gotten to it yet. But she told me about that. And just my experience playing, it 100% makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it just it's one of those things where it's like, hey, if you're in a certain area and that, like, kind of essentially, like, breeds hockey players.
Right.
Like, where's everyone going to go? They're going to go to that area. And if they're born in a certain time frame that allows them to be more developed at a certain time, right. I mean, it just made a lot of sense.
For yeah. sure.
And I played hockey in my early years, but all of those instances that they talk about, the outlier that made it or the group of people that made it, it came down to exposure and basically challenging yourself. So those younger kids had to challenge themselves to go play with the big boys.
Yep.
And everybody had to be as exposed as they could in that world for them to develop. It's the 10,000 hour theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus like a little bit of a push, like a challenge. So if I expose myself and I go up and I play with the big boys, like I'm either going to fall in line or I'm going to take a step back until I try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But that's a stubbornness in me where I'm just going to keep beating my head against the wall. Until I get
yeah. And that's, and listen, right. Real estate's no different. Right? It really isn't. I mean, you're going to have to go and try, and because there's going to be people that are experienced in this. And this is what I really like about real estate, too, is that those guys that are experienced, like, I know if anyone has questions or has any, they are just having a tough time connecting something, like, those guys will be mentors. Like, they will help other people, like, get to the guys that have the right mindset know that there's no scarcity here. There's an abundance out there that you can help people. And I'm a true believer. Like the more that I just give and give and give and give, I know I'll get that in return somehow at some point.
Absolutely. The thing I always talk about with people that are look at me like, oh, what's like, what houses are you looking at? And I was like, I'm looking at all the houses. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, every house is for sale. And they're like, I don't get it. And I was like, all right, let's say you owned your house and I offered you $1 million. Is your house for sale?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, now it is. Okay, so every house is for sale, but you just got to go talk to them to find out, is it price? Like what you were mentioning before, is it price? Are they looking to move, but they're like getting their house ready for putting it on the market? But let's say I come in and say, hey, don't touch a thing, just you can move. And right. I'll rent it back until you want to move. Like, everybody's situation is different. But every house is for sale. You just got to find out what their pain point is.
It's so funny. Around our neighborhood here, I can almost always predict when a house is going to go up for market because they'll be making, like, specific, like, modifications mm-hmm. to their home or adding siding or, like, doing something else. And I'll be like, that house is going to go up in the next month. And my husband, like, looks at me like, what are you talking? What? And I was like, it's going to go up in the next month. And then, boom, for sale sign. And I'm like, told you.
Yeah. It's pretty yeah. circular when you get into it.
Yeah.
But you can see what's getting done.
Yeah.
So I just joined your Facebook group, by the way. We're going to put that link in the show notes because we're coming up on an hour and I would love to keep talking to you. We're going to have you back.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Because I
want to
see what goes on with this lending.
I know.
Oh yeah.
I'm so excited about
that. But I get yelled at if the show goes over an hour.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm a talker. I apologize.
No, it was great. I love the mindset that you brought, and I know that the people that are on the fringe that want to get into investing, this is going to make it a lot more easy for them to kind of swallow the whole like fear of what it could be.
You know, like me.
Yeah, like Natasha.
Like I'm going to have a date night with my husband tonight. I'm going to sit him down. I'm going to be like, listen, we're going to start investing. Not sure how yet, but we're going to.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
So we're going to leave the Facebook group in the show notes, but also can you give us the name of your podcast for anybody that wants to listen to it?
Yeah, actually it's not a podcast. Just follow me on Facebook. I post everything on Facebook. My page that I have for myself personally is a public page. It's just Mitch Ferraro. And I post all of the the video, the recorded Zoom, they're just recorded Zoom calls, and they're just like this. They're just conversations with other real estate professionals. And I also post all of them on that Southeastern Wisconsin Real Estate Investors Group page. You can find me on Instagram at remitchie5. And I mean, again, just so you guys know too, like, use me as a resource. You, Marcus, Natasha, like, literally, like, use me as a resource.
I will.
I'm very open to all of that stuff. And I really just appreciate the time today and having me come on and talk with you guys.
This has been awesome. Like I said, I am so inspired right now. Like, I got, I don't know. I got the feels. Got the
and
feels.
I like that you're local. You're in Kenosha. We've had investors from across the U.S., a couple from Canada, some from the Northeast, but very few investors from actually Wisconsin, Southeastern Wisconsin. So
yeah,
I will definitely be reaching out. We'll definitely grab some lunch at some point.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not helping out at your daughter's school. Yeah. I didn't want to leave it out of the show. Like, what you've done the past 7 years is allowing you
to be able to,
yeah, to go in and help at your daughter's school, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really, really beneficial. And yeah, and actually my son Rome, and then I have my daughter Stasha. I'm going to help at my son's today.
Oh, at your son's, I apologize.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's okay. But yeah. And Natasha too, like, I just want to let you know, like, you're going to be in the beginning, it is drinking from a fire hose. Okay. That's just, it just is a natural part of the process. So like all of this stuff, like, you're like, oh my God, there's so much information. That's just how it goes in the beginning. And just know that that's like, everyone goes through that.
I mean, the good thing is I deal with you realtors on a daily basis, so I can handle it. All of you. All of you.
You people. What do you mean, you people?
You people. I tell you, it's like herding cats, these realtors. Like, whew. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps me busy.
And that's one other thing I'll say, too. I do think having your license is very beneficial to being in the investment side, because you got to have that MLS access.
Oh, I lost it for a little bit when I was changing brokerages, and I hated it.
I believe it.
It was frustrating. Yep. And then, like what you said before about how you're able to go in and say, hey, here's my cash price, but if you don't like my cash price, I can also help you put it on the market.
Yeah.
It just adds another
level.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just trying to convert on that lead. That's all there is to it, one way or another, and just be that solution provider for that seller.
Right. No, it's said perfectly.
Love it.
It's a great way to end it.
I love
it. Be the solution.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yep, absolutely. Well, awesome. Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I will be getting a hold of you very shortly.
Yeah, we'll send you a copy of the show to use for whatever you want to do. We're going to cut this out of the show. But we're going to send you the podcast file so you can use that with however, which way you want to.
Sweet.
And then we'll put all of that information that you just said about Instagram, Facebook. Is there an email that we should put on there?
Yeah, you can just put Mitch at familylegacyre.com.
I love that domain.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was from the very beginning. We were always trying to think, and we were just like, you know what? We're trying to build a legacy, right? So let's just be a family legacy.
I love it. That's really sweet. You're giving me goosebumps.
Good. That's awesome. I love inspiring others. I really
do. So many similar. My company is named, like, it's MVP, but my son's name is Miles Vincent Pearlberg.
So, oh, cool.
Named after him. So leaving the legacy on that one.
I got nothing.
That's really cool.
I just hope he's into real estate, because if he's not, whoops.
I got nothing. Mine's named after me, so.
You know, it's funny, from, like, an educational standpoint, like, I always tell my kids, I'm like, listen, college, schooling, like, you guys be you. I will support you no matter what, but you will be getting into real estate. Like, that's one thing I'm going to force you into, because you need to understand this tool and use it somehow in life, because it's just, it's a no-brainer in my book.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I can't remember who said it, but there was somebody that said, we started going backwards when we talked about school as education, or we confused the two, education and schooling.
I think that was Katie Mild.
Was that who it was? And I'm butchering the...
Yes, the because they took like, using a checkbook out of the classroom, and then they just added arithmetic.
Yeah.
So,
honestly, like, that could be a whole other podcast for us about the educational system. Like, I'm a huge public school proponent, but I just hate how they run it.
Yeah.
Like, they're very cookie cutter.
Yep.
They're trying to make.
Ooh, this is going to be a lunch talk.
Yeah.
Because I've got some ideas.
All right, good. We'll get sandwiches and we'll sit down and we'll chat.
Perfect. All right. I know you guys got to go. I apologize for keeping it going, but thank you so much for being flexible.
Yeah, no problem. Our pleasure. Enjoy this afternoon. Enjoy your weekend.
Perfect. Well, all right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to talk to you very soon.
All right, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.